Welcome to A Dopamine Kick, your weekly dose of positivity.
We're your hosts, Sparky and Shell.
Join us each week as we help change your habits, tackle fears, and challenge your mindset.
Let's get to it!
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 46 of A Dopamine Kick. Today we're going to be talking about post-ADHD diagnosis and what that feels like.
Now, there is a little bit of context to this episode. We are recording at 5 in the morning, and that's because Shell and I am awake. I don't know why, can't sleep, and Shell messaged me about 3 a.m, I think, basically stressing about her medication, because obviously, as you know, if you've listened to last week's episode, you'll know that Shell's going to start her medication soon. So we've had that whole drama this week, haven't we, Shell?
Yes. It's been a week, a long week.
Out of the blue, Shell was just like, oh, you know, why don't we do an episode? And we were like, you know what? We're both up. We both can't sleep. Thoughts are whirling through our head. This is probably the best time for us to record an episode. So if
it
I'm
is.
Sounding a little bit like sleepy or a little bit half soaked, that's the reason why.
we've been up and stressing and talking for 3 hours. Like, we might as well just do it on the mic and maybe someone will benefit.
So we thought we'd get into this episode and talk about what it's like to be diagnosed with ADHD and what it feels like afterwards. Now, obviously, those of you who have been listening know that I haven't had an official diagnosis yet, but Shell has. And that's came with a few things that we feel that it would be great to talk about on the podcast, because it can be a bit of a whirlwind of emotion, can't it?
It has been. Yeah, it really has been. And that is not something I expected. I went into the assessment sort of 99% sure I had ADHD. You know, I paid for a private assessment. I wouldn't have done that if I wasn't reasonably certain that I had it and that I needed help. But having it confirmed, you know, I just thought it would be like a formality. I just thought it would feel like, you know, now you've got a piece of paper that confirms what you already know. And it has just not been like that at all. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just absolutely hit me like a ton of bricks. I can't think about anything else. I can't focus on anything. I've just been cycling through so many emotions that I didn't think I was going to have. I thought the commitment had already been made, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I kind of think about it like, I think I've said this before on the podcast, when I got married. You know, the month before my wedding and the month after, nothing really had changed for me. I had this piece of paper to say that I was married, but, you know, nothing had changed in how I felt about my husband. We already lived together. We already had a shared bank account.
Yeah.
You know, it was just the piece of paper. The, you know, the actual commitment came when we decided to move in together. That felt like more of an upheaval. And I thought it would be the same for this. I thought the initial commitment was reading about the symptoms, realizing I had it, and like booking an assessment. I didn't think that getting diagnosed would mess with my head.
Yeah. It's one of those things, isn't it? Because like we were talking about it just a while ago, how sometimes you feel, well, you've got mixed emotions. It's like, should I really be feeling this bad about it? How are you meant to feel when you are officially diagnosed? Like you said, it just seems like, oh, it's just going to be a piece of paper where you say, oh, well, there you go, you've got ADHD. But then the spiral, the emotions happen afterwards. So what are your emotions at the moment?
So initially I was positive. You know, when we recorded our last episode, it was less than 24 hours after I was diagnosed. And probably for those first 24 hours, I was quite positive. I was relieved. Everything, you know, started making more sense in my life. I generally felt quite happy. And then gradually that has changed. And I felt quite shocked at certain points. That's really bizarre. I don't know why I would be shocked, but that's how I feel, like, almost like I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah.
Angry. I felt so angry. Like I can accept that when I was younger, awareness about ADHD was not that great, especially in girls. So I don't blame my parents or my teachers for missing it. You know, I think that that's perfectly reasonable. Yeah. But I can think of between the ages of 9 and 25, at least 5 incidences where I saw professionals who should have spotted this. So I was assessed for dyslexia multiple times to ensure that I could still have additional support at school and exams. I've seen psychiatrists when I was struggling with my mental health. I've even been in a psychiatric hospital, and none of these people ever even suggested to me that I had ADHD. Like, I can't believe that, like, professionals who were trained in spotting and diagnosing this and had other patients who had ADHD couldn't see it in me, when, especially when I was younger, I fitted the criteria perfectly. There's nothing on there that I wasn't like 100% for. Yeah. So that makes me feel so angry. And then with that, I guess I start to feel, I'm getting a bit emotional now. Sorry, I didn't think I was going to do this.
It's okay.
I feel almost like sorrow and regret for how different my life might have been if I'd have known that I had this, if I'd have been getting help and support rather than just feeling like I was always different.
No, I can identify with that as well. I think you almost mourn for the life that you don't have or that you could have had.
Yeah. And I feel bad as well when I look back, and, you know, now things are reasonably stable, chaotic, but stable. But definitely when I look back, there's been people that I've hurt. There's been times when I've behaved so badly and in such a toxic way, and I just couldn't see it at the time. And now I look back with a fresh lens and think, I had a brain disorder. I had an undiagnosed brain disorder. And if I'd have known that, and if I was being helped and being supported, I probably wouldn't have behaved like that. And I probably wouldn't have hurt those people. And that feels really, really bad.
Yeah, I also identify with that as well. So I can kind of understand what you mean on that level, because you look back at things and you think, oh God, why? You know, why did I behave that way? Why did I do this? And you can't help shake that feeling of, I can't even explain the feeling, really. It's almost like you go into yourself and you overthink it, and you look back at that situation. And even though it happened like a really long time ago, it's still as fresh in your brain as it was back then.
Yeah.
Now, because now you're looking at it from a different perspective, and it's almost like you're shocked, or you're feeling some level of anxiety about it, because you're like, oh my God, I can't believe it. So, you know, all the things that you're saying, I completely understand. I identify with them as well, and I don't have a formal diagnosis, so I don't know at this point like what's going on with me. But I mean, just from your perspective there, when you was talking about the anger and not being assessed, like, I mean, I said this on the podcast before, didn't I? Why did no one ever tell us? But I guess it's mental health is so complex, and that's the problem. It's trying to isolate. And the thing is,
yeah,
if you're not self-aware, if you're not aware, I mean, now we are a bit more aware because we're hyper-focusing on that. But if you're not self-aware at the time, it can be very difficult to even explain that these things affect your daily life too much. Like, I didn't realize how much my concentration is actually affected day to day until I've actually realized, if that makes sense. Before, I knew I struggled, but I didn't put it down to focus. I put it down to something else. So anytime I saw somebody and I was trying to explain my symptoms, it came out in a completely different way.
Yeah, until it's
Whereas now I would say it's this or it's this, whereas I wasn't aware of that before. I'm hoping that gives you some hope. Things aren't all like just doom and gloom in that sort of way that, I can't explain what I'm trying to say. I know what I'm trying to explain. It's just not coming out.
I do understand, because I do like, I'm not all negative. I have times when I'm still very positive about it, about the diagnosis.
Oh yeah, we know you're positive about it, because we've literally just laughed our whole way through this podcast, all of our problems and all of our issues. So we know we can have a joke and a laugh about it, and we like to do that. But, you know, it's okay to also feel like things aren't okay. It's, you know, the saying, it's okay not to be okay. And I think it's really important for the people that are listening.
No, but that's so hard. That's so hard to do, isn't it, though? Like, I say that all the time, and I believe that for other people. And I, you know, if my friends or family are struggling, then I would always want to support them, and I wouldn't sort of look down on them. But then when it's myself, it's so different. Yeah. So different.
Yeah, because it's you.
I can't forgive it in myself.
But it is definitely okay not to be okay. And this podcast is a place that you can talk about it and hopefully help and inspire other people as well. People that are listening to this may identify with what you're going through at the moment. If you do identify with what we're talking about at the moment, please reach out to us. It's really important. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to get some messages, see how you're doing, or if you've been through this, what helped you? Because stories like this are so important to help people who are being freshly diagnosed and moving forward with their journey.
And it definitely isn't all bad. Like I the overwhelming feeling is one of positivity. It's just the bad thoughts just sort of almost flash in. But there are so many good things that I could talk about as well. So, you know, I feel like I finally belong somewhere. Like when I talk to and listen to other people with ADHD and they're, you know, talking about their struggles and things that they've done, I just finally feel like I found my tribe, which I keep saying this. I keep saying it, but it's just so important. Like I don't feel different anymore. My mind is not very coherent because we've been up since 3 a.m. talking and stressing. And then I just suddenly said, why don't we just take this to the microphone? And didn't really think through the fact that I've not had any sleep and I can't form coherent thoughts.
Well, you know, it's part of having ADHD, I suppose. Just
yeah.
that impulsivity. Oh, do you want to record? Okay then, if you want to.
That's the problem, isn't it? Because we both have ADHD, there's no one to sense check.
Exactly.
What we need is a third host who would be like, guys, why are you even up?
What is going on? But it's that impulsivity, isn't it? And like I was saying to you the other day, the policeman story. Should I explain the policeman story? Like, I thought the policeman story was really good.
Yeah, I love the policeman story. You should.
I'm not going to take credit for this because I did hear it on another podcast, which I will link in the description below if you want to check that out. So basically, this came from somebody else, I believe. I think it's just been passed down.
I think it's from a book originally, is it not?
Maybe it is from a book. I'll link your book.
I think she quoted it from a book.
Although I am struggling to remember.
I can remember.
Can you remember? Okay. Save the day.
I loved it. I've told so many people. So what she described is that if you imagine the brain like a crossroads, a really busy set of crossroads with lots of traffic flowing through and the traffic lights have broken. And so there's a policeman there and he's like, right, you come forward, you, your turn now. He's sort of regulating everything. And so the traffic's still able to flow really quickly through. That's in a neurotypical brain. And then in a brain with ADHD, that policeman, he is gone. He's either asleep, on a break, just not paying attention.
Do you think our policeman was asleep tonight?
Yeah, I think so. And what that means is if you imagine that the cars are like thoughts and like impulsive thoughts, they're all just pushing in and like overtaking each other and it's just chaos. And when one pushes through, there's nothing there to say, no, hang on, you just wait. There's time for another thought to come through. It's just all absolute carnage, which I loved because when you first told me about the policeman theory, the first thing I said is when I try and describe the inside of my brain to people, I always describe it as a bit of a niche reference, but Lord of the Rings, where the scenes where they sweep over Mordor and there's like the fires everywhere and the crumbling mountains and the lava pits.
It's just like absolute carnage,
yeah,
chaos,
absolute
fires
carnage
of hell everywhere. I love it. I do love the policeman analogy because it explains it so perfectly, how, well, how your brain is really, and how that impulsivity just does not stop. I actually think at one point in this podcast series, I am going to write down my daily thought process and then kind of tell it in a story, because honestly, some of the days that I've had, if I actually sat down and described what was going on minute by minute, I think unless you've got ADHD, I don't think you'd really understand.
Yeah.
So some people might be able to
Whereas
identify.
Whereas probably anyone with ADHD would be like, fair.
That's normal. That's just a normal day. So just going back to the conversation, because we got a little bit distracted there.
Yeah, sorry, we're talking about policemen.
I wanted to just ask you about, like, do you feel like emotionally as well, there's also a downside to
it?
Yeah. Because I know you mentioned before that you felt a little bit empty. So I just wanted to get a bit more clarity on that.
I'm sort of cycling at the moment between, you know, positive and shock, negative, or the negative emotions, but there's definitely periods of time as well that I just feel completely empty, like no emotion whatsoever. I think the way I described it to you was, if you imagine a house from from a horror film is what I'm thinking. Imagine a house and like the TVs, like all the lights are on and the TV's on and the TV's blaring, but the front door is just like flapping in the breeze and there's nobody in the house. That's kind of how it feels. Like everything's still switched on and firing and my mind's still racing. Nothing slows down, but there's no one home. I'm just empty. There's nothing there. So I feel like that quite a lot. I think that is emotional dysregulation, possibly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I find myself, I can't predict when that's going to happen and I can't bring myself out of it. I seem to just snap out of it, but I can't control when that happens. I find that quite scary, to be honest. I would rather feel angry and sorrow, guilt, all those sort of things. I'd rather feel those because I think they're rational emotions to have.
Yeah.
It unnerves me when I get the empty feeling, because then I just feel like I'd like some sort of psychopath or something. Like I should have, nobody should just not have an emotion for long periods of time.
I can 100% say that you're not a psychopath, Shell. So you don't want to go down that route.
That's a bold statement.
I don't think you
100%.
are. 100%. I don't think you are. Honestly, I really need you to understand me on this. You are not a psychopath. Sorry, I'm just laughing now because it's like 6 a.m. in the morning and I'm kind of losing the will. Just a quick update on how you're feeling about the medication as well, because I know that last episode you said you were starting meds, and obviously there's been a bit of drama with the medication in the fact that, you know, you haven't been able to get them on time and pharmacy rules and things like that. How are you feeling now about the medication? Are you feeling like you still want to try them? Are you feeling a little bit, you know, you're thinking maybe not?
The meds have just been just a complete drama on their own. So the actual process of getting them has been fine. I've dramatized it, and I know that you've had to put up with a lot of messages from me this week. And the poor pharmacy has also had a lot of calls and messages. But really all of that stems from the fact that I didn't know their process, and so was quite unrealistic about the time frame that it would take for medication to arrive.
Standard.
Standard.
So I think I mentioned this in episode one. Do you know what? Just to quickly go off topic, just one thing that just literally just impounded into my mind is me saying in the first ever episode of A Dopamine Kick is when Shell gets something in her mind, it's like all guns blazing. It's like rah, rah, rah. And then you were like, some people would think that is a bad thing. And then I'm like, no, that's a great quality to have. And now looking back, I still think it's a great quality to have, by the way. I still think it's an ADHD superpower.
Yeah.
But looking back, it's like, that was the pinnacle time, the moment.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the pharmacy does not regard this as a superpower right now.
Anyway, carry on. I cut you off, got distracted.
So it started because my psychiatrist, when he was talking about booking up the follow-ups, he made a comment about, so if we say that you start in the middle of the next week, then your follow-up would be 2 weeks from that. And what he was probably doing was just saying that sort of, you know, to give me an idea of time frames, like off the cuff. I took that very gospel.
Literally.
I was convinced that that meant that's when the meds would arrive. And that was not a realistic time frame. So they still haven't arrived. And they're not going to arrive until the middle of next week. So it is fine. There hasn't actually been any delays or holdups. I've just felt like there were because I'm going to get the medication a week later than the unrealistic expectation I'd set for myself. but in this time frame, I have gone from, and I don't know if I probably would have done this anyway if the meds had arrived when I thought, I just probably would have done it faster. But basically, the closer it gets to me being able to take the medication, the more I'm like, oh God, do I want to take this medication? And it's just freaking me out. Like the thought that, I guess two parts really. Firstly, it's speed.
It's when you say it like that, it's speed.
Yeah, like I know it's like medically licensed and weak, and I know that I've looked into all the how it works and everything like that, but it's speed. Like the thought that, you know, I am someone, I've always tried very hard throughout my life never to get addicted to anything. Like I'm so anal about it. I don't drink more than 2 caffeinated drinks in a day because caffeine's addictive. And now I'm going to start on daily speed. Like that just blows my mind. Like how have things escalated to that level so quickly? So there's definitely a lot of negative connotations about the drug and the type of drug that it is. By the way, for anyone who didn't listen last episode, it's lisdexamfetamine that I'm taking. It's not literally like speed off the streets.
Yeah, not just going around the streets.
It's not like this isn't a street corner type of thing. And then I think that the second part is because I have a barrier and I don't know where it comes from. Maybe it's social influences, but I definitely have a barrier around taking any sort of medication for mental health. So I've been on things like antidepressants in the past and I've always just stopped taking them because I've always got to a point where I've been like, no, I don't want this in my life. I don't take medication. This isn't right. I should be all natural. But as you know, as I discussed with you earlier in the week, Sparky, it's completely hypocritical because, you know, when I'm in pain, I'll pop anything, you know, anything yeah. The doctor gives me. I've had back pain quite a lot throughout my life. Any medication the doctor gives me, I don't even read the data sheet. I don't even look at the side effects. If it's going to help with my discomfort, take it straight away.
Do you know what the funniest thing is though? And I do have to mention this. You're a vet, you prescribe medication.
I know. I don't have any problems with medication normally. Like it's just because it's a medication from my
mind.
Mental health.
Is it because it's targeting the mind and you've got some level of anxiety around what's it going to do to your mind, maybe?
Yeah.
I do ridiculous. Identify with that because like you said about the antidepressants, I've felt that before, like, oh, I don't want to get addicted to this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But on the flip side, I'm like, give me the drugs. Like, I just think to myself, like, if there's something that's going to make me feel better, I don't care. I'll have it every day. just give it to me because I need it. I sound like a bit of a druggie now, but I very much do have an addictive personality. So I can, if I try to resist something, it just, the feeling just pops into my mind more and more and more. And, you know,
I mean,
luckily I've never got addicted to anything that badly that I'm like, you know, it's ruined my whole life. Actually, just a quick interesting fact here. Did you know that contrary to the popular belief that your mind only sees the positive in every single statement that you make?
Oh, I had heard that because I've heard that on like finance stuff. So if you say things like I don't want to be poor, then your brain hears he doesn't hear the don't. Yeah, it just hears be poor. I've definitely heard that on like finance podcasts
or,
before.
I don't want to eat that cake, or I don't want to eat that junk food. You're more likely to do it. And obviously, as the podcast is centered around, you know, dopamine and dopamine kick, it's a really good theory. I'll explain it a little bit better in another episode because it's such a fascinating thing. And I've gone off topic again. I'm sorry. What was you saying?
I can't remember. It's very early. Meds. We were talking about meds.
Meds. Yes. So I'm the addictive one and you're not. So this is going to turn out great.
I think I could be though. Like, I think that's where my obsession with not being addicted to anything comes from, is because I think I do have an addictive personality. And if I let myself get near that spiral, I won't be able to come out. So that's my fear. And then also, like, I'm saying this with all this bravery, like, oh, maybe I won't take the meds. I don't have the meds in my possession right now. When they arrive,
yeah, when they're in your possession,
exactly. When they're sitting in the house, I don't know that I'm going to be like, oh no, I'm not going to take it. I don't think I can take it. I'm probably going to be like,
you're going to be sniffing them.
I don't know. Sorry. I'm just a mess.
You know what
right
I'm
now.
Like? I have to make a joke out of you, and I have to laugh at your expense because that's just what I've got to do.
Do you know what I feel like as well? Like, I've been so needy this week that I just have to take it because I've had you up at like 3 a.m.
Oh, I was already awake.
Messaging throughout the day. Like, if you go back through Sparky and I's messages this week, it's like one moment I'll be like, I can't wait to take these meds. I'm so excited. I'm going to feel so much better. And then literally the next breath, I'm like, I'm not going to take them. I'm going to dispose of them. And you're like, what has changed?
I keep saying that. I'm like, what's going on? What's changed? It's like one minute you're like, yeah, it's going to be great. I'm going to live my best life. And then next minute it's like, I can't do this anymore. I can't. I'm so scared.
And then you'll message back and you'll be like, you know, it's okay because of this. And I'll be like, yeah, you're right. I'm going to take the meds.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, a few hours later, it's like, I've been reading the back of the leaflet and I'm reading all the information and I'm like, oh no. No, we're spiraling.
Jamie is absolutely sick of me. Like, I know you've had it bad this week, but you don't live with me. I think I've got to a stage with Jamie where when these meds arrive, I think if I don't take them, he's going to like slip them in a drink.
He's going to force them down your neck.
I think he's just so sick of it. That like not taking them is not going to be an option. I think I'm going to have to at least try one. And probably like the next time we record, or maybe the time after, depending on when they arrive, I'll come on the podcast and I'll be like, so I've taken the meds and this is what it feels like. But I don't know. I can't keep how I feel about the medication for longer than about 10 minutes in my mind before I change my mind and go on to something else. And that is literally what everything is like in my mind right now. I can't hold an emotion. I can't be angry at something for longer than about 10 minutes before I swap onto the next emotion. Everything that I'm doing is just constantly flickering.
So if you do feel that you do, anybody that's listening to the podcast before, I should have just said that beforehand, but if you do feel that you do experience anything that we've talked about in today's episode, please consider getting an assessment. There is an assessment criteria. We'll pop it in the show notes below. You can also do online assessments as well. We'll pop some of those in the show notes below. Oh, I can't talk tonight. This morning. Just check some of those out and just have a look and see what sort of scores you get. Now, keep in mind that if you do get a high score, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have ADHD, so don't go panicking, but we would encourage you to go and see your GP and explain your symptoms to them, and you may need to get a referral to see a psychiatrist to explain it further.
Thank you so much for listening to my emotional rambling.
Do you feel better?
I do actually feel better.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't know how long it'll last, but I do feel better talking about it.
10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes probably.
Okay, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time for another episode.
Okay, bye. Bye.
All right, that's everything this week, guys. But if you want to carry on with the conversation, join us over on our social media platforms. We're on all the major channels and our handle is @adopaminekick.
We'd also be super grateful if you could leave us a review on the podcast wherever you're listening, as it helps us to grow our audience and help more people. Okay, we'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.